Clint Goodchild, Will Evans. Fan Thoughts, Fridays 6 to 8, presented by Breckenridge Brewery.
I'm back. All right, we are at the halfway point. We've just finished our oranges, and we are about to take on the second half. So, halfway through the show, I just want to revisit yet again our goat vote. Mile High Goat, the last one that we haven't really given a plug to, Will. Let's be honest, he's probably the favourite. The numbers say it. He's at 100% of the fan vote. Patrick Waugh. Just a few little numbers here, mate. 19 years, 4 Stanley Cups, in brackets, 2 with the Avs. 11 All-Star games, and here's the big one, selected greatest goalie of all time in 2004. And that vote included over 50 various reporters and experts. Where do you put him? Is it hard to argue?
No, I think he goes down as the greatest.
It's hard, man.
Well, that's a top forward. I know a lot of this is subjective. Do you like offense? Do you like defense? But as far as pure impact on the Avalanche organization, Patrick Waugh is the number one.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think did he coach there or something? I can't quite remember. I mean, there was something about that. Yeah, being like a mentor and a role model and a.
We're focused on the highlights.
But we're focused. I think that is being a coach is a highlight. We'll bring Mr. Williams in one of these days.
So he is an absolute legend. Now, speaking of legends, two of my favorites right here: Connor Cook, Nick Johnson with the Glendale Raptors, a place that I love to spend my time. Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing well.
Doing very good, thank you.
Excellent. Thanks for coming in tonight. Thanks for giving up a little bit of time on a Friday. Let's jump straight into it, lads. We're in the off-season right now. It's Thanksgiving, leading into the holidays. I have an interest in this team. How much are you eating? Hey, you looking after yourselves?
A lot right now. We just kicked back into training camp this week, and it's been pretty brutal, so definitely eating quite a bit.
Excellent. Our boy Davey Williams is pushing you.
Big time. This week's been pretty rough, first week back. So
Excellent. Let's do a little bit of a recap. So last year was the first year of professional rugby across the nation with the foundation and launch of the MLR, Major League Rugby. Glendale went into the season as favourites and high expectations. Now, you guys have played the game for a number of years leading into that situation. What in your opinion, as a player, was the biggest jump from amateur to pro? What really changes?
I think the speed of the game definitely was one aspect, and then the physicality as well.
The physicality?
Yeah.
Now, you throw yourself into it, Cookie. I'm a big fan. In the first game, you have the honor of scoring the first try in Raptors history. That's one that no one can take from you. You also have been awarded the best hair in the league. You know, and to take that one out as the, you know, initial award winner for such things is such a big deal.
Yeah, could you actually wave at the camera right now? Show the listeners and the people watching. Beautiful, beautiful dreadlocks all the way down, folks. That's what you're missing here in the studio. Yeah.
From behind, mate, you could be a stand-in for Chewbacca. That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. Now, last season was a massive success. The fan following, the excitement, the change of the game, it was wonderful to be around it. You lost one game in the regular season. Your consistency, even when you were without six of your best players who were representing at various times, the USA itself, which, again, we might as well say it, USA Rugby had the best year it's ever had in history.
It's incredible.
For those that may not follow the game internationally, it's a big deal. Scotland has been playing this game since the days of William Wallace running around there, you know, like the blue paint. Is basically something that goes a long way back. And USA beat them at their own game. Massive, absolutely massive upset in world sports. Now, six of our mates were a part of that game. What did you feel watching your boys run out there with those national colors on and have a win?
I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, like for me, it was even an honor, and I was even out there, so I can only imagine how they were feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was pretty one of those things that, like, we had a game that same night that that game happened. Uh-huh. And, you know, first thing off the field, the entire locker room's talking about it. The, you know, the fans are talking about it. It was just something that kind of was bigger than just the game itself. It was kind of a nationwide incredible success there.
Now, you're a new fan to rugby, Will. You're a season ticket holder, one of the most passionate followers of the game. What did you think after that first season?
Oh, it was just unbelievable. We went to every game. We got to travel to San Diego to watch. And I know we're going to talk about this a little bit, but I was just recalling what they're talking about. So the game ended, and some dude in the stands has his iPhone out.
I can tell you who that dude was. That was the CEO of USA Rugby, Dan Payne.
It was Dan. So I had met him, and he's holding this phone, and everyone is watching this little 5.5-inch screen screaming at the Eagles. I mean, the Raptors just won, and everyone's celebrating, but the whole...
Well, Scotland had a penalty attempt to win the game basically at full time. So the energy leading up to that moment was massive. We're thinking, oh, we've got this. The whistle blows. Everyone goes, ah. And I won't say what I really thought. There was silence, staring at this thing, 5 inches, 20 to 30 people, literally selfie style, and it erupted the moment that he missed the goal. Like, who would have thought that Americans could give a stuff about Scotland missing a goal? It was fantastic. It was fantastic. But I'm getting off track. Let's get back to our Glendale Raptors. You touched on it, Will. We had a wonderful time. It was a romantic weekend away. It was excellent.
I hadn't been to San Diego in many, many years, and going on that trip with you was
memorable.
Eye-opening.
Memorable.
Even.
That's
where I got my first ticket for riding one of those stupid scooters.
I hate those things. I absolutely hate those things. Let's get back on track.
Yeah. No more
San Diego, we've lost one game in the season. It's the final against Seattle. Nationally broadcast game, amateur to pro. How were the nerves going into that game, gentlemen?
I mean, I would say they were, I mean, at this point we were pretty used to it, but they were definitely high, just with it being a championship game and first inaugural season of Major League Rugby. Yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, I'd say the same. I mean, there was... From the very beginning of the season, we had expectations to not only be in that final, but to win it. And so it was kind of something that we all expected, but you never really fully prepared for that moment in a stadium like that with fans like that. So it was definitely a little bit of a on-edge feeling.
You must have enjoyed it, though.
No, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Great time.
Let's do it again. Well, one better. One better is my thing. Sadly, that game went against us, yeah? Sadly, that game went against us. It was a great game. It was close. There were opportunities and opportunities lost. Absolutely. Is that okay to say?
Yeah.
Now, looking back at it, you've had an off season to think about it. How does that motivate you? How does that distract you? What do you feel?
I think it's more motivating than anything. You know, you never want to, as an athlete, get to the final show and, you know, underperform or just let it slip away. And so I think it's kind of a fuel for all of us going into this next season. We know we have, you know, what it takes to get there. Yep. We already proved that last year. And so, yeah, I think it's something that we're all kind of, it'll never kind of leave us. I mean, that's a big game.
It's got to be a motivator. Now, we've also lost a couple of names. The league has expanded. So with expansion comes talent spread. Nick, who do you think is really going to have a breakout season for the Raptors this year?
I mean, I think obviously the big name that you'd kind of think of would be Mika Kruse, being the young kid and seeing the talent that he has on display. But I think coming into the team, I think some new faces that people might not know of. Obviously, Honku coming back. Mm-hmm. He was with Denver a year or two. And then we just kind of saw today that Malone Aljabouri was signed as well. So I think our back three with those two and then with Connor right here could be pretty explosive this year.
There's definitely some athleticism there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's radio, so there's not a lot of people that can necessarily see the size of Connor Cook. But his work ethic, along with his passion, makes him a weapon. Let's be blunt. Your skill set, Nick, I see you as the ticker. And if you don't know what ticker means, it's the sound that your heart makes. What do you think you can improve on this year? How can you be infectious in a positive way?
I think, I mean, kind of like you said, bringing a different energy level than we had last year, you know, bringing a person that can kind of find little moments in every single game where you're just flashing up and kind of always finding that extra little bit of grit when guys are, you know, dog tired and it's 60th, 70th minute, being able to, you know, spark something up. I think Harley did it pretty well for us last year, but it's tough when you have kind of just one of those. So I think if we can kind of have one on each side of the field, that'd be awesome.
I like it, mate. I like it. Cookie? What improvements do you want to make as an individual this year, my friend?
For me, I want to be a little bit more of a threat on offense, and then I think I'm going to have a decent controlling stake in the lineouts this year, which will be nice. I like calling them and being able to control that factor of the game. And then as of now, I believe I'm be slotting in at 8-man, so that'll brilliant. Be kind of new for me, but I think it'll be good to kind of utilize my skills coming off the scrum with the ball.
That's a great opportunity, mate. Great opportunity.
And then also a little bit more physicality on defense.
Brilliant. We'll be back in just a second. Continue on with Nick and Cookie.
And for those of you who are just tuning in, it's Fan Thoughts with Will and Sparky. We have two pro rugby players here in studio. Talk about Glendale Raptors rugby. So tune in right after this commercial break, and we've got some hard-hitting questions coming up. Jacket.
Thoughts with Will and Clint, Fridays at 6, presented by Breckenridge Brewery.
NYC, dirty South, West Coast, Midwest, let's go. If hip-hop should die before I wake, I put an extended clip and body them all day. Roll at every station, wreck the DJ.
Welcome back. It is a Friday night in the Mile High City. The Avalanche just kicked off. Here we are sitting with a couple of the stars of the Glendale Raptors. It is the Major League Rugby is a thing now, folks. Last year was the inaugural season. Teams all over the country this year, even more teams. It is going to be the next Major League Soccer. It took a while to build up, and we are on the ground floor of it. We are huge fans here. Huge fans. We're kind of blessed that we have Nick Johnson and Connor Cook in studio. They actually just went back to training camp. They're at the gym. They've got their eating regimens all together. It's pretty amazing to hear what they're talking. We are on Mile High Sports Radio. The show is Fan Thoughts with Sparky and Will. But before we get back to this interview, the big news of the day, Kareem Hunt is a jerk. And you know what? The Kansas City Chiefs just released him. You know what?
Go
they
on.
Did. That's
Good
right.
Night. Goodbye.
You know, rightly so. Ben Albrecht released it earlier today. He showed it first. But you know what? This just in, they released Kareem Hunt. The arguably the greatest running back playing right now, I guess, on the field, but definitely not in his personal life. This means that Spencer Ware is the new guy's up. The Chiefs, their playoff chances, they have Mahomes, but their playoff chances took a real hit now. And it's just a damn shame that some people are just
idiots.
Thank you very much. They bleeped me out earlier. But real fast, guys, we are huge rugby fans. We hear about stories like this in the NFL occasionally, not very often. Rugby, I know you guys have this whole culture of respect. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me a little bit about playing here in Colorado.
Yeah, it's a gentleman's game. And I think, you know, the energy is obviously very high on the field. We're battling, you know, we're basically at war for 80 minutes. But when it's all said and done, the final whistle is blown. Everyone's brother is off the field.
It's go ahead, Nick, please.
I was just going to talk a little bit about just how, you know, NFL, you see it in MLB, you see it in the NBA. I think one of the reasons some people aren't attracted to sports is just kind of the way some of these guys conduct themselves. And you see games on TV and they're constantly screaming at the officials and, you know, screaming at fans and stuff like that. And I think with the rugby side of it, it's one of those things where, you know, you'll hear refs that are mic'd up during the game and it's nothing but respect, and he'll even talk to guys as, hey, that's enough, and they're immediately, all right, got it, sir, and that's just kind of how the game is played, so it's definitely something that's fun to be a part of.
Well, there's a famous old saying on other sides of the world where, you know, soccer, the world's number one sport, is a gentleman's game played by thugs, and then there's rugby, which is a thugs game played by gentlemen, and I have my opinions on it, and I'll try and keep those to myself. Do you think that the off-field brings a bond that enhances the on-field connection with your players? You know, so when you look across the line and you see someone who's willing to lay their body on the line for you, what does that drive within you, you know, and how do you feel that way for the opposition who's out there trying to hurt you in the same facet? Like, how do you build that bond?
I mean, it's just something that you kind of become a part of when you start playing the game. You train hard. Everything you do is together, and you understand when you step across the line that you have, you know, 14 other guys and a few extras on the bench that are gonna give every single thing they have to kind of put you in the best position and put the team in the best position to win. Mm-hmm. And I think it's rare in sports, because I definitely think in a lot of other sports you have a little bit more kind of selfishness and kind of me first type attitude, where in rugby it's you know, you're playing for the man next to you. Yeah. And that's the way it is.
You find yourself on the outside pretty quickly if you're for your own. Mm. Now, gentlemen, I have a series of questions here. This is going to be a sneaky little segment that we'll do each week with our guests. It's a simple title, 60 Seconds with Sparky. All right. Now, this is quick fire questions, and I expect quick fire responses. Let's start with some easy ones, guys. And I expect a response from both of you for every question.
Okay.
Most annoying teammate. Say it.
Yeah, he's not listening to this.
Come on.
Oh, man.
Overthinking, boys.
Oh, Jesus.
It's got to be Will.
Max Lum.
Oh, yeah, really?
Love him, but he's like annoying, like your little brother.
Yeah,
I see. He's that kind of annoying. You love him to death, but you'd sometimes you're just like, all right, settle down.
Enough's enough. Yep. Sometimes you have to put him in his spot. All right. Now, if Will weighs 200 pounds on two legs, how much does he weigh on one?
200 pounds.
Oh, and that's the difference between rugby and other sports.
I would also say the intellect. Right? There's no chance he's weighing 200 pounds. So.
Well, you know, he's sitting down. Last one. All right. My man, Coach Davey Williams. Out of 10, what do you rank him as a coach?
10.
Ooh.
9.
Ooh, one being the highest. Well, that's tough.
You know, we do a one down to ten scale here.
That's tough. So you heard it here first, folks. Real, real disruption in the camp there at the Raptors. It seems like the players have turned on their coach, literally the lowest possible ranking, and then the next two lowest possible rankings. So I appreciate your honesty, guys. It's hard to find.
Sometimes you know, the
but truth I agree. Yeah. I think it's useless.
And we will make sure this goes out everywhere.
It already has.
Twitter is tweeting. In fact, if you are tweeting or on Instagram, it is Fan Thoughts Live.
Yeah.
If you can't believe what Nick and Connor think.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Actually, fellas, I do have I've been on your website recently, and I feel a bond with Connor, actually. I've always felt this bond because we both lived in Hawaii. We both went to college in Arkansas. We both had beautiful dreadlocks at one time in our life, and I keep getting confused for you as I walk around Denver. They just think I'm a pro rugby player, and you know what? It's flattering, but I hear that people think you look like a young Alexander Skarsgård. I can see it, and when I'm looking at Nick Johnson's bio, by the way, if you have not hopped on the GlendaleRaptors.com website and looked at the team bio photos, they are magnificent.
It's winter is coming.
It really is. This guy looks almost like Arya Stark.
Aquaman.
So he has been confused. Here we go. Nick has been confused for Mel Gibson from the movie The Patriot. I'm sitting across from him right now. I see it. I do. I get confused for Doc Holliday all the time, which is the biggest compliment you can give me, I think.
Well, it's not the worst you've. It's not the worst thing that's been said about you, mate. Now, Nick, well, both of you, beautiful long locks. How long have you been growing your hair?
Since college, I started growing it out, and then I had a real job at one point that I cut it all off for, and the second that I was kind of wrapping up, I decided to bring it back. So
you're saying
rugby's not a real job?
Exactly. You're saying rugby. You're saying really? That you no longer have a real job, Nick.
Is Coach Williams listening to this?
Oh, forget Coach Williams. The ownership group is listening.
My last haircut was in 2010.
Excellent. Mate. Wow. It shows. It does. You can smell it.
It's intimidating on the pitch. It's amazing. Yeah. Actually, I do have a question. So for those of you just tuned in, this is Mile High Sports Radio. It is Will and Clint. We're talking to pro rugby players play for the Glendale Raptors. While my co-host has the advantage of being Australian, And I mean, there's only two states that I like to be in.
No, I can't. I don't. Are we allowed to say that?
We are. Two states.
There's two states to be in, people. Queensland and drunk.
But for the rest of us.
If you can't be there, Colorado will do.
That's right. And for the rest of us, rugby is not one of our everyday sports that we play in middle school, high school even, though it is starting to become...
Fastest growing sport in the country.
I'm telling you, it's becoming a big thing. How did you guys get started? Nick, for you, when's the first time? I know your entire family has been athletes. Where did you start playing rugby?
I started my freshman year in college, but it was kind of a weird way of getting into it. I actually went to college to play basketball, and I ended up breaking my ankle maybe 2 months in to getting to college. Didn't really have a good go with the coach and kind of his thoughts on the injury. And, I was kind of down in general, and some rugby players that lived on the same floor as my freshman dorm were like, hey, you know, you're an athletic dude, you should come out and give it a try. And I've been playing ever since.
So I started in Hawaii. I played ice hockey growing up here in Colorado, and we moved to Hawaii. I lost that, and we were required to play sports at our school, and some kid came up to me, same type of deal in the dorm, and said, you want to try out rugby? I said, heck yeah.
Good stuff. Good Fantastic. Stuff. Glad you did, boys. Well done. You know that I can use somebody.
Thoughts, Fridays 6 to 8 with Will and Clint, presented by Breckenridge Brewery.
Oh, welcome back to Fan Thoughts. Every Friday from 6 to 8 is a Will and Sparky show talking about Colorado sports, what's going on in the world. And perhaps just a little bit of fantasy football. But I do, I've been getting tweets and texts on the phone. We have a lot of listeners right now. We appreciate you guys. I hope you're enjoying this long drive up to the mountains, because I know there's some fresh powder up there. But my dear father just texted me. He goes, hey, how long have you been on the radio? I had to turn you off because Texas is playing Radford, and I want to finish the game.
Well, that's great fatherly support, isn't it?
I'm telling you, like... He was my number one fan, and he's watching a team, Radford. Anyone here know what state that's in? Let alone...
No.
All right.
No
idea, Dad, I love you. And I know we were talking about, so we have Iowa State playing tomorrow, playing a team called Drake. I got another text. Obviously, my parents love this show. My in-laws, one went to Iowa State, the other went to Drake. They're going head-to-head at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Big matchup.
I'm telling you, there's going to be some couch sleeping, maybe some no lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that East Coast matchup. So anyway, welcome back to Mile High Sports Radio. This is Will and Clint. We have just finished interviewing Connor Cook and Nick Johnson, two of the stars of the Glendale Raptors. Major League Rugby is making a comeback, people. It's exciting. It's big. And I know the season starts. Ooh.
Oh, boys, when does?
Yeah, when does the season start?
Season opener is in Seattle on January 27th. So
and that's
it'll be a rematch of the final.
It is a big game.
It's a big game.
So I'm sure you've got a little extra in the tank for that one.
Yeah, maybe a little chip on the shoulder.
Perhaps.
So January 27th. Perhaps. So you're obviously training right now. And I know I had to ask during the commercial break, these guys are not small. I know you can't see them. They're both over 6 foot, over 200 pounds, long, luxurious hair. So I must.
Winter is coming.
Yeah, winter's coming. It's exactly what it looks like. Tell us about, before we move on to this next segment, you said you're eating 5,000 calories a day just to maintain your weight?
Yes, sir. We've been training pretty hard, so it's just trying to not lose weight at this point before the season, because I know that's probably what will happen, a few pounds.
Now, are we talking like dirty bulking, or do you have a nice clean diet? Are we talking, is McDonald's afternoon lunch a thing? Oh my God, it is. Look at that smile.
I'm a slightly special case, so I'm not very strict on my diet. Nick, however.
Yeah, we're a bit different. He eats whatever he wants and looks the same. I'm actually on a pretty strict diet right now. I've been housing spinach smoothies and a lot of veggies. So we're a bit different.
Green beans.
5,000 calories in vegetables. Well, I don't want to say that's a personal nightmare for me, Sparky, but...
Well, I'm all about 5,000 calories, as you know, Will. I'm in preseason training. I don't know when the season starts. Probably 2040. I've been in preseason training for about 10 years now.
And you know me, I figure if we're talking 100 calories of beer, I bet I do about 5,000 calories a day. I mean, that's only
before noon.
That's food plus 20 beers or something. That sounds reasonable.
No.
I could play rugby.
Now, we have been highly focused on the Avalanche. Should we give them an...
Okay, this is actually kind of fun. So we are here in the studio right here at 10th and Lincoln. If you guys are ever around and want to come join us, this show is called Fan Thoughts because we firmly believe that everyone listening knows a ton about something. And we'd love to hear it. But right now, they actually put a television here in the studio. It's behind us. And we have these two guests we're trying to interview, and they can't take their eyes off the Avalanche game. Mm. And I see why. St. Louis, the Dirty Blues, scored in the first 30 seconds.
Which sets me up for my bet. I did say 5-1.
You did say 5-1.
I'm halfway there.
You know what? And we have five more goals to go. McKinnon's going to hit his hat trick tonight.
Easy.
I'm feeling it.
Easy. Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk about some other sports. Our Nuggets are also playing this evening, and they're up against the Portland Trail Blazers at 8:30. Now, this is a good matchup. I do love my basketball, so forgive me if I indulge a little bit here. I'm very excited about our Nuggets this year. I've been to a number of games, and there is a feeling of can do. I probably should look at the standings, but last night we were sitting at third in the Western Conference, in a conference that is traditionally the stronger. Now, LeBron has also joined the Western Conference, and we won't waste time on LA because, let's be honest, no one wants to talk about it. But the matchup that I'm really interested to see, we're actually sitting second in the Western Conference ahead of the Golden State Warriors.
But below the Clip.
Well, you know, they'll get the Clip. Don't worry about that. 2 days from now, we are in Toronto against Toronto, and I'm a big Celtics fan. No secret there. I think Toronto are well and truly on their way to the finals. And that breaks my heart to say that. If they stay injury-free, Kawhi, talking of chips on shoulders, Kawhi has a big one. And he is coming up against our Nugs up there. I'm not saying I'm nervous. I'm excited to see what we can do because I think that's a great benchmark. That'll let us know where we really are. The Western Conference is trying to figure itself out at the moment. The Eastern Conference, the Raptors are strong. So it'll be a good benchmark.
You know, the Raptors are strong, but the Nuggets are not even at full strength right now. Their first round draft pick.
Resting.
Michael Porter Jr. just hanging out. He says he's healthy and ready to play, but the team is so deep right now. Why push him? My boy Willie B. still out tonight. Gary Harris, game time decision. They are absolutely loaded. Paul Millsap playing unbelievably. Jokic playing the way Jokic should.
The ball moves. You know, and it's funny to watch the game develop over the years, but going into the big guy now to open up space for everyone else, it's almost a throwback to the days of Kareem. Like, he reminds me of Kareem, and for those who are old like me and saw another European player, Sabonis.
Cool.
Does that name ring any bells for anyone? Yeah. The big man. Missed his prime. Came over here when he was about 65 years old. Dominated the league for about 6 years. You know, retired to a beet farm somewhere, I'm sure. But Joker has some skills. He could do with some preseason training, though. That guy doesn't have much definition. Let's be honest. All right? I think he needs to join the Raptors for some preseason. Get that 5,000 calories.
You can't train height, though. I mean, that's the key. He's got a great three. He's 7 feet, 12 inches tall, or however, you know, he's freakishly tall. It's amazing.
He sees the court. So I'm interested to see how we go away from home against the number one in the East and Kawhi in particular. That will be a matchup.
Nice. And we have the Nuggets playing at 8:30. We have the Avalanche playing right now. It is the middle of the, almost the end of the first. If you have not hopped on and Instagrammed at Fan Thoughts Live and voted for your favorite Avalanche player of all time, the
Goat.
The Mile High Goat.
The Pole.
It is something we'll be doing every show.
It's going to
take perpetuity.
It's going to take us about 12
all
weeks.
Time.
So basically, it's an elimination process. We go from 4 to 2. Then we change sports. So I think we're going to do the Nuggets next week. Is that right?
We will do the Nuggets next week. Yeah, perhaps we'll do the Raptors coming up in a few weeks.
No.
I mean, I don't know how to pick my favorite player on that team.
I do love the boys, but no. We're not doing
make,
a Raptors goat after
not
one
not
going to
make
as
that.
As much as I'd love to, no.
Fine. Well, maybe you know, next year, the same conversation. You guys remember this? Make him eat crow.
Because
who knows, after a championship run, I'm feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, big Nuggets fans? Big Nuggets fan. So, who are you watching? Who are you watching right now? Who's your favorite player on the Nugs? And this is Nick Johnson, one of the pros for the Glendale Raptors. Apparently, he loves all Colorado teams.
Very much so. Nuggets-wise, I would say, I mean, I think Paul Millsap has brought a kind of leadership element that this team was desperately missing. So I think that's kind of been a big part of their kind of early run so far. I think Isaiah Thomas will be big when he does get back. Just another piece of the puzzle that will be tough to match up with. And yeah, I'm pumped about both them and the Avs this year.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought up Isaiah Thomas from Inside Scoop. That guy has been tremendous in the locker room. Has absolutely given those guys a sense of belief. And I think it's easy to see that he probably has a sense of belief being, what, 5'2"?
Yep.
So, you know, the guy like that has a lot of influence. And I think with a young team coming together, the professionalism of Millsap coming to the floor. Last year, I think the only thing that was missing really was a healthy Millsap. He's had that offseason. He's come to the floor now. That guy is bringing and filling holes. But that ball just moves so well.
It really does. And I think actually the biggest thing, and I know we're kind of biased here, but the biggest way I've seen the ball moving is they have a pure point guard in Monte Morris right now.
Oh, and let's talk about that throwback jersey just for a second.
Just a throwback jersey. But you know
what? Mutombo days.
Yeah, the reason we're hopping on this Isaiah Thomas bandwagon is because he just submitted his resume to be in Space Jam 2.
Ooh.
That's right. He's like, if LeBron James is in, he goes, Isaiah Thomas will be in that movie too.
Well, hopefully
so we are hoping to see a nug in that movie.
They need a Muggsy Bogues replacement from the original.
Hey, so. That's right. That's right. Welcome back to Fan Thoughts on Mile High Sports Radio. It is 6 to 8 o'clock every Friday night. We got interviews with local athletes. We have riveting insight into world sports. I've got the best looking co-host on the station in Sparky. But we do have something special. I actually have someone outside the Avs locker room right now. He hangs out there, polishes sticks, eats the free food. JJ, are you online?
Yeah.
Hey, my man. So we're all watching the game together. I'm with some of the Raptors players, some buddies. We're in studio.
G'day, legend.
We saw, it looks like the Avs are down by one. You got 2 minutes left. How did the game start?
St. Louis scored about, I think, the five-minute mark, about 4:57 or whatever. It was the Tarasenko-O'Reilly line, which has been pretty hot as of late. You know, O'Reilly always plays really well when he comes back to Colorado. You know, he's kind of a fiery guy. And it was a Jost Zadorov line that gave up the goal. Varley played well, being back in the crease finally. I don't think the boys have quite the jump that they have in this winning streak. But at the same time, I mean, this is kind of a trap game.
Hold on. We know that the Blues are awful. But what do you mean? How is this a trap game for the Avs right now? Can you explain that for the listeners?
Well, it's a trap game because they're on a really good winning streak, and they just came off a really exhilarating win after they'd given up that 3-0 lead to Pittsburgh. And they came back and they pulled that game out. So it's easy to kind of like...
Oh, while you were talking, they scored again. It is a trap game. Disaster. Yeah.
If I was a betting man, I would have bet against my boys tonight.
Oh.
And I would never tell that to their faces. Actually, I would. But
well, luckily, you are live on the radio. And what we're going to do, we might have you come in next week, give us some betting tips for the NHL and the Avs. I know you got the inside scoop. All right, my man. Well, we will hit you up after the broadcast tonight. I really, really appreciate you calling in.
Of course. Obvious. Anytime.
Thank you, JJ.
Interesting insight.
I'm telling you, well, he is right there every single game. Start using him more. So we're at the top of our show.
We're getting towards the end, guys. We're getting towards the end, and you know what? Sitting down for almost 2 hours, my back gets a little stiff. So I'm going to do a shameless plug for 5280 Cryo. My boy Tuck, that man has fixed me over and over. And I see the Raptors boys literally nodding their head as I say that. That man is a magician. The softest hands in the city. I don't know.
I've always had lower back problems too. Is that something he could fix, or is that just a personal issue?
Absolutely. So, you know, not only is he chiropractic, but the cryo treatment. He does pregame stuff. He looks after Von and all the boys. He is their pregame guy to go to. Now, we are winding up. We've got about, 10 minutes to go? 10 minutes to go.
10 minutes we have.
10 minutes left to vote on the GOAT.
All right, I'm going to log into Instagram right now at Fan Thoughts Live. And for those of you just tuning in, this is the end of our 2-hour segment every Friday night. We're going to have some local sports celebrities in.
Yeah. I hate to break it to you.
Drink
mate.
A delicious Breckenridge beer.
The votes are compiling here.
All right, how's my boy McKinnon looking?
He's sitting at 20%, mate.
20?
20%. 20%.
Well, he's 100% of my heart.
Well, he's something. So we got Sakic, looks like he's going to bring it home. And the matchup, it's no longer 100% for Wah. It is 75% for Wah. So it looks like it's going to be those two guys
moving on into the bracket.
Absolutely. And we should get the bracket in the back.
You know, we are going to bring a chalkboard in, and we're going to keep track of this. We're going to keep track of the bets we're making during the show.
Well, unless I lose.
We will still be keeping track of the bets we're making during the show, especially that one about Budweiser with that dirty Blues fan.
Yeah.
The way it's looking right now, I'm going to owe him a lot of Breckenridge beer.
Mm-hmm. You know what? No, I'm not going to say that joke. Yes, I am. Do you know what Budweiser and making love in a canoe have in common? Google it, people. Google it. It's funny.
Budweiser and making love in a canoe.
Yeah, what they have in common.
All right, you know what? The answer for you next show, next week's session. We still have a few minutes left, but I am not going to ruin that for you.
No.
But just to recap the day, the biggest sports story today, obviously, a video was released from February where Kareem Hunt was assaulting a 19-year-old female club goer in the hallway of a hotel room or of a hotel. The video just now came to light, which is amazing, which means somebody was sweeping something under the rug. No charges were filed 6 months ago, but TMZ broke it today. He was just released from the Chiefs. That is unequivocally the correct thing to do from the organization standpoint, and we need the NFL to come down hard. This is behavior that cannot be tolerated. Ever. And I hate to, we're not going to quite finish the segment that way. I just want to reiterate that it is such a shame that these people who are our role models, mine especially, I love the NFL. And anytime I hear something like this, it really just makes me shake my head, wonder perhaps where something went wrong. Perhaps they thought that their coach was a 9 and 10 on a 1 to 10 scale as well. I don't even know. So
now, I feel like we got to touch on the Broncos, mate.
We do have to touch on
the
Broncos.
We'll be fired after our first night if we don't touch on the Broncos. Now, they're coming off a win against the Steelers. I didn't see that coming, I'll be honest. We're up against the Bengals. They're wounded. Their red-headed savior is no more.
It is the year of Driscoll. But the Broncos, and this is what's fascinating, the next five games on their schedules are against a bunch of cream puffs. Except for week 17 against the Chargers in Los Angeles. And it might come down to the Broncos making that second wild card spot against LA, who might already be in. But you know what? That road starts on Sunday where the Broncos are 5.5-point favorites. This is their biggest line this season.
That's away from home.
So I've got a couple guests here. We're going to look around. I'm going to start. Do you think the Broncos can beat them by 5.5 points? Clint?
No.
Win by 5.5?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. We have a yes and a yes from the Rogues Gallery. Hey, Jake, what do you think? Are the Broncos winning this game on Sunday by 5.5 points?
Easily.
All right. Well, the yays have it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeses to Clint.
So this time next week, when I'm sitting here gloating.
Hey, we'll eat tiger.
Gloating. I want a 5,000 calorie steak. When I win this bet.
You know, I am actually going to go back. So, sorry, we were talking earlier. These rugby players, they do this for a living 5 days a week. They're eating 5,000 calories a day. One of them eats McDonald's. The other eats green vegetables. I wonder which one's the better player. I know which one has better hair. The vegetables are working for you, sir.
It certainly is shiny.
It's
silky smooth. Yeah.
So we do want to say thanks for listening.
Friday night.
There is a show, Mile High Sports Radio. I know our next show, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. At 11 o'clock, we have the college betting shows because we have all the championship games start at 10 a.m. Oklahoma, Texas. Then we have Ohio State Northwestern in the afternoon, Alabama, Georgia. So 1, 2, 3 in a row. There's some great football. If you do need a place to come watch the game, swing by Society Sports and Spirits, 1434 Blake Street in downtown.
I'll be there.
They'll have all three games on with volume and drink specials all day long. And who knows, I'll be sitting at the bar just, I look vaguely like a professional rugby player too, people tell me. So just look for something like that.
Vague indeed.
So we do have one more minute. Thank you for voting. We're on Twitter at FanThoughtsLive, on our Instagram at FanThoughtsLive again. Our producer Jake will be with us every single week. Thank you so much, my man.
You're the man, Jake.
This is our first show together here on Mile High Sports Radio, AM 1340, and I am just pleased as punch, especially with our two mostly semi-famous guests, Nick Johnson and Connor Cook, starters for Major League Rugby's Glendale Raptors. Season starts up soon, and if you have ever thought about getting into rugby, call the station, hit us up. They are donating 20 tickets to the callers on this station. Nick and Connor, thank you guys very much.
Well done, lads.
Yep, thanks for having us on. And again, like you said, 20 free tickets to the callers in for Fan Thoughts. And hope to see everybody out there on our first home game of this year. It'll be March 2nd against the kind of new team, Toronto Arrows.
Yep, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
But Toronto, you're playing Canadians?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a huge home opener here. And we'll see you guys Tuesdays and Thursdays, 12:30 to 1 o'clock on Whiteley. So, with my good friend Gil Whiteley, talking fantasy football, betting, and everything that he does best. Thank you so much.